Hello, this is Cliff Cheney, Technical Architect at Accord, and this is part 7 of our ongoing training for the Accord Life and Annuity Standard. In this session, we'll give you a brief overview of how tabular data is exchanged in the Accord model. We do this in a construct called XTBML. A following session, however, will go into the actual details. So this session introduces some of the concepts, kind of sets us up, and in the time allowed, though, we can't really go into the details. The following session, we'll cover that. XTBML is a way of handling information that is tabular in nature. We have to be a little careful, though, when we use that expression, because I say it's tabular data, but that unfortunately draws up a connotation that I'm exchanging a table. And when I say a table, I think about things like Excel spreadsheets or an Access database. And although we've recently added the structure to be able to do something similar to that, that's not really the intention or the purpose of XTBML. XTBML instead is intended to be able to exchange information that was commonly thought of, things like rate card information. I might want to exchange COIs, cost of insurances, mortality tables, that sort of thing, that describe a product. These things are usually defined and structured differently from one carrier to the next. One carrier might organize their rates by state, and then by preferred class or by rating, and then by gender, and then by age. The next XTBML defines both the tabular data itself and how that data is accessed. When we talk about how information is accessed, it's how the information is organized or structured. In terms of the model, we call that organization, we put things in our organization in terms of accesses and keys, or an access and a key. And again, in my prior example, a given bit of information, such as the cost of insurance, can be expressed or needs to be navigated by any number of unable to be predefined accesses and keys. And some potential ones are listed here on this slide, such as age, gender. I can organize them by date, status, class. I can do face amount, premium. Quite frankly, I can do virtually anything that I can express in the Accord model. I can use that as an access or key on my table itself, or any combination thereof, and many things that I can't even express in the model. So, as I mentioned before, I already gave you an example. So, in this slide here, talks about rates organized by state, underwriting class, and attained age. So, we can go ahead and skip over that. But what I'm actually, in my next slide, I'm going to actually give you a graphical representation of this. So, and this kind of drives home the difference between tabular data and a table per se. XTBML and tabular data is again organized by these accesses, and so we'll see that here in a second. Graphically, that would look like this. If I had an XTBML that was organized by first jurisdiction, I would see then under XTBML I have this, and we'll get into what the individual elements mean next, but so let's not worry about that. But this, the thing that's important is under my XTBML, this construct that represents my rates, I have this axis, this turning point of determining first the jurisdiction. So if I know that I'm using, I need to look up the rates for Cliff Cheney and he lives in New York, I start by, XTBML tells me that the first indication is state. So I go to the jurisdiction New York and then I come down to the next key. Essentially, keys and accesses can be used interchangeably for this demonstration. I'll discuss the differences in a minute. Then I need to be able to say that, well, Cliff Cheney's rated. The options are rated, preferred, and standard. And each table will define all of the options that are available at that level. And in this case, I know it's rated, so now I go down to the rated level in my hierarchy. The important thing to note here is, though I had a key of rated, at this level in my tier, I have three options, rated, preferred, and standard. At least those are all the ones I see. Under the next one down, under rated, I may have 67 options, 67 things to compare against, where under preferred, I only have 6. There's no requirement that these things stay expressed in the exact same number of order, in the exact same increments. So I come down off my key axis of rated, and I go down into now an actual tag name axis, where I get into time periods, or year zero in this case. And there's my value for year zero, it's 0.02004. My value for year one is 0.00501, and my value for T2 is shown there as well. Again, the point being is I end up snaking through this n-dimensional table that really can't be expressed in terms of rows and columns. It's expressed more in decision points or a logic puzzle where I answer each question, turn left or right, or take the third option, and follow that down the path. Until I get down to the end of the path, I'll find this thing called my y element, which tells me the actual value that I'm looking for. Okay, so conceptually, we've been talking about these rates, and I've been drawing a correlation between the tag name XTBML and the concept of rate tables. And that's correct. One of the gotchas in there, though, is to realize that XTBML is actually a super table, meaning that under this construct called XTBML, I will have multiple constructs called a table. The reason that we do that, there's really only two situations where this is allowed in the standard today. The reason we do that is in a situation where the table structures vary completely by state. Maybe in New York, I'm based on New York legislation, I can't vary my rates by class, so the New York tables are expressed without varying by class. But in all my other states, they can vary by state, so I have, or by class, so I have a completely different structure. In that sense, I'm still expressing one concept, one XTBML, one super table being my rates, my COIs, mortalities, whatever I was trying to express. I'm just using a substructure called, unfortunately almost, a table that as a way of being able to organize that information. So I may have multiple physical table aggregates, but it's all expressing one concept, in this case, an XTBML. The other situation where this applies is in an actuarial shortcut, an actuarial trick called a select and ultimate table. In that case, I'll have one XTBML that says these are my rates, and then I would have one table aggregate that represents my select table and one table aggregate that represents my ultimate table. If you don't understand select and ultimates, that's okay. I'll give you an example here in just another slide or two. Also, XTBMLs are self-describing. We've said that before, and we'll get into the actual structure there. But basically, if I send you an XTBML, we don't have to previously negotiate what my XTBML is going to look like, or my rates, or what have you. And they're designed to be standalone. So the Society of Actuaries, for example, publishes their rates using XTBML on their site without having to publish anything about OLIFE or TX Life wrappers or anything of that nature. They can publish an XTBML, make it self-describing, CSO age 80 tables, age 80, CSO year 80, CSO 80 COIs, and publish that out there in a self-standing module that can be reused by you. You go out, download it, import it into your system because it already understands X table, and you can use it. The next slide gives you, again, our graphical, our hierarchical organization. It's UML-ish. Representation of what a table looks like. We see that it starts with an XTBML aggregate. That blue aggregate there tells me that it's something called a document or a top-level object. Under that, I have content classification. The content classification is that self-describing part. This begins telling me what's the metadata of. It's a metadata of COI rates, or it's a metadata of mortality tables, experience rates, etc. Following that down, then I have, remember, a repeating structure of tables, because remember, XTBL is a super table that optionally repeats tables. And there, now I'm starting to give you the physical structure of each individual table. Each individual table will have a set structure that won't vary, again, except if I need to vary it by state or the select and ultimate. But the table under it will have a metadata that now defines what that table looks like. So if my New York table looks different than my Texas table because of some sort of legislation or ordering, I can express that. The metadata then defines that, and within the metadata, the primary way of defining that is these things called a key def and access def. We haven't touched on the difference between those yet. I'll get to those in just a second. But this is a way of defining all those decision points in my path along the way. Finally, after all of that, I can give you my values. And my values are essentially, for this key and this value, I either have another set of choices, or I can finally get to your value. If you remember in the graphical representation we walked through, and I would be walking through essentially this. Under each value, I'd see a repeating key. Under each key, I can have another key or another axis, or finally get me to a Y value. If I get to an axis, I can have another axis. The important thing to take away from here is one gotcha, is that I have to define my keys before I define my axes. If you look at this, I have a key, and nested under that is a key. And nested under that is an axis. But under axis, I have no way of going back to a key. So I have to define my keys first, and then my axes. This is one of the few constraints that forces a company to organize their data in a particular manner. Other than that, all bets are off and you're free to organize information as whatever makes sense to your company. Let's talk about one second. I'm going to pause here then to talk a bit about the difference between keys and attributes or axes. A key, if you think of foreign key, if you use that as a mental correlation, a key is a reference to those things that are not predominantly, that are not commonly ordered in the general sense, at least in no definable sense. For example, product code. If I wanted to give you a single rate table where I organized all my COIs for all of my products or multiple products in one table, I might organize them by product code. One could say, well, that's orderable, isn't it? Well, technically, yes, I could sort it alphabetically or alphanumerically, and it is sortable, certainly, but it's not something that's generally treated as being sorted or incrementable. If I say product XYZ ABC, and that's my Ultra 6000 Universal Life product, and then product ANN 845, that's my joint annuity product, there's nothing in that that tells me that my ANN product code should come before my ABC or XYZ product code. There's nothing inherent in that to mean that one comes before the other. Alternatively, axes are those things that are sequential in nature. If I say that these are ordered by date, I would expect then that the dates for January 1, 2000 or the rates for January 1, 2000 come before the rates of January 1, 2010. So they're normally ordered. If I say it's by age, I expect age 0 to become before age 1, et cetera, et cetera. So all of those things that are generally sequenced normally are things that we consider to be axes. Those things that are thought of as codes or identifiers, string type keys that don't have an inherent ordering are what we would call a key. And that concludes part 7 of the Life and Annuity Standard the training series on the Life and Annuity Standard. Life and Annuity Standard. Life and Annuity